the voice of Advent. We've been celebrating Advent this season, and each week a different voice of the Advent story to try to get a fresh perspective. You know, a survey was taken a few years ago, and they asked, what character from the Christmas story do you most identify with? How many of you would say Mary or Joseph or maybe those wise guys, or, I mean, how about Herod? Anybody identify with Herod? No, not so many. According to this survey, the shepherds came out on top of who people most identified with. Last week, the voice of Advent came to us through the most overlooked voice of Advent, the innkeeper's wife. This week, we heard from the voice of the shepherd. Once again, we're using a bit of imagination to try to put ourselves into the story with the hope that we can truly see this old story with a fresh perspective. The truth of the matter is that most of us are pretty comfortable, familiar with the Christmas story. Maybe even to the point where it's pretty much transitioned over into that part of the brain that keeps the fables and the myths and the legends in our minds. Some have so sentimentalized, that's a good word, sentimentalized the Christmas story that we just kind of skim along this, the level of a very superficial level, counting down the shopping days till Christmas, running from one thing to another, stressing about all that's left to do, while going through the motions, we neglect that this is the celebration of the birth of our Savior. It reminds me of the little girl who misquoted John 3:16. When asked to recite it, she said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only forgotten Son." This morning is through our songs and through the candle and the Advent reading and reminds us that this baby who was born in Bethlehem is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. And it is He and His arrival and His certain return that brings us great and lasting joy to us today. The shepherds received this news about the gift, this good news that is still being proclaimed today. I find it interesting that God would choose in His sovereignty to deliver the birth announcement of His Son to shepherds. If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We'll pick up in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And as we read this, I've asked you to do this Advent, try to put yourself in the story, but today think about these shepherds out in the cold of the night tending their flock and try to imagine what it would have been like to be one of those shepherds out in the field that night. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory, that takes us back to the Shekinah glory of God in the Old Testament when Moses was up on the mountain, his face shone with glory. When God moved on the tabernacle as they moved from place to place, it was the Shekinah glory. When God's presence was felt, there was the glory, this radiance, this presence of God is revealed. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. I kind of get that, to come into the presence of God. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste to find and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. You know, here in Luke 2, verse 8, Luke doesn't tell us much about who these shepherds were. There's no adjectives used to describe them. It simply says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. Shepherding or tending the flocks was a profession that's seen throughout the whole of the history of the Old Testament. Abel was the first to have this job, followed by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, even Moses, and of course, who would forget David? All faithful men of God. God, in fact, calls himself a shepherd. We are compared to sheep. Now, if you know anything about sheep, you understand that this really is not a great compliment for us, but it speaks profoundly about God as our good shepherd and the role he takes in caring for you and for me, his sheep, the sheep of his flock. By the time we get to this first century, though, the career choice of shepherding was viewed with a little less glamour. It had lost its luster. Shepherds, by this time in the history of the Jewish people, had become sort of the lowest class of people, coming just slightly ahead of the leopards. In the Talmud, which is a collection of the theological writings of the rabbis of the day, where they had looked at the Old Testament and commented on it and came up with all these writings, we find in the Talmud this statement: no help is to be given to the heathen or to shepherds. So that was the mindset of the Jewish people of this time. In order to help us understand how unusual it would have been for angels to appear to these lowly shepherds, let me just mention a few points. Shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of their work, they were unable to attend worship at this temple. They were unable to offer sacrifices. They were often isolated and forgotten about. Because their flocks needed to be moved to find new grass and clean water, they never really stayed in one place very long. They were the migrant workers, in a sense. They were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were suspected of stealing from others, often confusing thine from mine. Their testimony was not even allowed to be given in court. Wouldn't have been accepted in court because they were considered so unreliable. They were known to be brash and bold, living out in the fields far away from society, made them unappealing to most people. Most of them would have had foul mouths and were ready to fight at a drop of a hat. Still, God entrusted the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of smelly shepherds. Actually, it's not really that unusual. God has always worked for the forgotten, for the despised, for the lowly. From the beginning of the time of his ministry, Jesus came for those who felt horrible, who were humble. Jesus says in Matthew 9, verse 12, "It is not to the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have come not for the righteous, but for the sinner." Jesus reached out to sinners like Zacchaeus, to Levi, to prostitutes, to demon-possessed, to strangers, to Samaritans. He did in his ministry what the Father did in a borrowed stable when lowly shepherds looked at the Lord as the cattle were lowing. I can hear the little calves 5 o'clock when we're out feeding them lowing. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. He says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. Yet he chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things, so that no one may boast before Him. It is in when we humble ourselves that God raises us up. It doesn't say, now there were some in that region, some scribes keeping watch over their scrolls. The Lord comes to the lowly, to the most undeserving, to the neglected, to the marginalized, in order to show His power to reach all people. No one has gone too far that He cannot reach. But some may think they're too good and don't need to be reached. The shepherds help us see that God has a message for sinners just like us. Everyone, everyone matters to God. And as we briefly look at the shepherd's response, I want to point out some lessons that we can apply to our lives so that we don't forget Christ this Christmas. The first thing is, as I look at these shepherds, I see that they were attentive. The first thing we see here is the shepherds is that they were attentive to their job. They were responsible and did a good job as far as it goes, as far as being a shepherd. It says there in verse 8, and in that same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. They were so committed to their career that they never left their work. They not only worked the third shift, but they pulled the first and second shift as well. This was a 24/7 deal for them. We also see in this verse that they were faithful since they were keeping, ongoing, continually to keep watch over their flock. It was often the case that the different flocks would gather together at night and come into the same fold. They would take turns, but one of the shepherds would literally lie across the entrance, making sure that the sheep would not get out or predators would get in. It gives new meaning to what Jesus says in John 10:9, when Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pastures." Notice that God came to those who were attentive to their job and what they were given to do. They weren't slackers, but He met them right where they were, right on the job site. Likewise, whatever God has called you to do, be attentive to it and do it with excellence. Paul will write later in Colossians 3:23, Paul will say, "Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart. Work for the Lord, not for men." Friends, you are not insignificant to Emmanuel, God with us, our Lord and Savior. God will meet you right where you are. You don't have to clean yourself up or work in your own efforts or try to be someone else you're not. If you smell like a shepherd, let Jesus wash you up. If your sins are wiping you out, let Jesus lift you up. You were created in the image of God as an original masterpiece, and the signature of the Creator is inscribed on your soul. These shepherds were attentive, and they were in awe. While they were being attentive and responsible, they were to the work that they were given, they are suddenly awed by an angel's announcement. Let's read it there in verse 9. "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." God meets us where we are, but then He brings us to our knees. That night, God's glory lights up the sky and causes them to quake in their sandals. Whenever we come face to face with God's holiness, we fall apart because of our sinfulness. I love Peter's response in Luke 5:8 when Peter responds to Jesus, he says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." They could have been terrified because they didn't know what this angel was coming. Was he coming as an angel of judgment or not? Perhaps this angel had been sent as payback for their raunchy jokes or their bad language or their sticky fingers. Maybe their sins were catching up with them and now they would be vaporized. Whatever the case, they were in awe, and it would take a lot for these tough shepherds in the fields to be terrified. You can't help but wonder, when was the last time you were in awe? Do you marvel at the Messiah? Has it been a while since you hit your knees before Him? They were attentive, and they were in awe, and they accepted. These attentive shepherds filled with awe, and now they accepted the message of good news of great joy. Luke tells us there in verse 10 and following that the angel said to them, "Fear not, and behold, I bring you good news, great joy that will be for all people." The angel comes and calms them down, telling them that he is bringing good news of acceptance and forgiveness and hope. We would have a lot to fear this Christmas if that first Christmas had never happened. The word that's used here for good news, the Greek word that's used for good news, is the same word that we get the word for evangelize. The good news is good news of great joy. The word for great there is the same Greek word that it's translated mega, which means exceedingly large. It's a superlative that is of the greatest degree. One translator puts it this way, "I evangelize you to the great joy." Listen, joyless faith in Jesus is a contradiction of terms. I saw one Christmas card years ago. I remember it. It says, "May your steps jingle in delight as you anticipate this time of year." Your steps jingle in the light. This message is for all people. But I want you to notice this. The angel declares first, "I bring you good news." This good news is for the whole world, but it must also be deeply personal. It's yours. After getting more specific, a whole regiment of rejoicing, warring angels filled the skies, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all men with whom He is well pleased." We know that they accepted this message because in verse 15, they say, "Look, let's go over to Bethlehem and see." Paul writes later in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, and not as word of men, but as actually it is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Have you accepted the message? Have you allowed the word of God to work in you? God's good news is a gift, but this gift must be received if you want to activate it in your life. These shepherds were attentive, they were in awe, they accepted the message, and they acted on it. These shepherds didn't just accept it and enjoy the message they received, they acted on it. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, it tells us, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger." They went off in haste. They hurried off. It's like saying, "Come on, let's go. Let's hurry up." This is pretty amazing in of itself. Shepherds are not normally quick people. They're used to moving slowly with the sheep and kind of the nature, world of the nature. They were patient men, accustomed to moving slowly through the pastures. But here, this message comes, and they're in earnest, and they're moving out. The Bible is clear that accepting this message must lead to action. James tells us plainly in James 2:17. James says, "It is faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." These men acted on their faith. They went and saw, and the first thing they did was to bounce over to Bethlehem. They went over to see the baby with their own eyes, a baby born in a smelly old stable. Really wouldn't have been a problem for these men who are used to the scent of sheep. Check out the irony of this. Unclean shepherds came to a smelly stable to see the Holy of Holies lying in a bed of straw. You know, many commentators suggest that these shepherds may have been the shepherds tending the flocks that would have been used for sacrifice in the temple. These were the sheep that would have been used for the daily sacrifices, for the ceremonial sacrifices that would have been offered continually. Here are these sheep, these shepherds, who tend the sheep that would have been offered as sacrifice, come to see the sheep, the Lamb of God, who would provide the ultimate sacrifice for all our sins. Centuries earlier, David kept watch over his father's sheep in this same pasture, and now the son of David, born in the city of David. These shepherds left and shared this good news. It's striking. They didn't come and see the baby and pull up a bale of straw and make themselves comfortable. They didn't hang around the manger because they knew that they were now messengers of this message. Notice that the message they shared had nothing to do with seeing the amazing angel. There's no reference to Mary's magnificence or Joseph's job. They came to see him, and now they head out to herald the good news. Look at verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. The ideal is to make known in such a way that people understood. In part, we're here today because these shepherds went out and made known the good news about who was born. In what area is God calling you to the same action? It's not enough to say, I have faith, or to feel good about something. There comes a time that after seeing, we must be involved in sharing. And finally, these attentive, awestruck, accepting, active messengers adorned. This is cool. These shepherds went back to their same old jobs, but they weren't the same on the inside. They returned to where they started and were attentive once again. Notice they didn't write a book or go on a speaking tour or launch a ministry called A Shepherd's Story. After Christmas, we have to go back to the same routine. But now we can do it. We can do so with joy, rejoicing because of this child who was born. We are to rejoice right where we are, doing what God calls us to do in the jobs that we have, or even if we're in between jobs, whatever God has provided, wherever God has provided for us to be. Yes, it's possible to have joy in our jobs, even with that same boss you had before Christmas. Luke 2 and verse 20 says that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They didn't just wonder about what they saw. They worshiped Him who they saw. Clear evidence of conversion is always adoration. Worship for the One who saved us. Someone has observed that many of us worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. When a person is genuinely converted, he or she will praise God continually in everything we do. Allow yourself this Advent, this Christmas, to adore Emmanuel, God with us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as you glorify and praise Him, do it in front of everybody. Praise Him and glorify Him in everything you do and everything you see for all He has done. And you can return to the same job after Christmas, but because of what He's done, you return not as the same person. Do you want to take on the role of a shepherd? Or will you just plant yourself like a tree or an unmovable rock? The shepherds were changed forever by what they saw, and you can as well if you'll follow their example. To be attentive, to what God has called you to do. Be awed by God's message for you. Accept this gift of good news that Christ has died for you. Act on this good news. Put your faith in it and step out in it and adore Emmanuel, God with us, our Savior, 24/7. Christmas is real history, but it must become your story. In Luke 2:11, it says, "For unto you is born this day." That means right now, in the city of David, a Savior, one who forgives your sins, who is Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord, your Master and Leader. And close with three questions. Is He your Savior today? Is He Christ to you? Is He Lord to you? I love what Tim Boone once said. If Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not once in me, then I would still be lost. Father, we praise You. We thank You for these shepherds, that You use them to proclaim and to share the announcement of the birth of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we would be faithful in showing the joy and the glory of our salvation, living it out and proclaiming Christ as our Lord and Savior. We pray for opportunities, Lord, this week as we gather and share with friends and family, as we shop and rest, as we go back to work after Christmas, that we would worship You, Your Son, our Savior, through everything we do, say, for all He has done for us. We pray this, Lord, in His name. Amen.